Good morning, brothers and sisters.
Welcome to the Northern Light Church of Christ,
where our mission is to love as family, grow in Christ, and be a blessing to everyone. If you are a visitor, you are a special guest to us. Welcome. And we really appreciate. Please, when the service is over, our elders will be back there, and please wait around to talk to us, and we would like to know you as well. All I like to think of us as having a 24/7 fellowship with one another. If you had missed yesterday's Feed My Starving Children, you must have missed seeing Dickie Joe singing and dancing out there. It's like the Blue Brothers. He was dancing and boogieing. But it's a nice opportunity. We fellowship together, but we also do something that is worthwhile. You can always say, okay, yes, I was able to help a kid have food on the table. So look out for another opportunity of such for Feed My Starving Children, which will be coming. We try to do that every month. So next month, July 27, we'll be having another one. If you look into your bulletin, you will find it. And if Dickie Joe is there, he will bring his game on. He has a lot of talents. And we look forward to seeing everyone, okay? I know that your presence today, both our visitors and our regular members, is not an accident. You are here for a purpose. And I pray that we will worship God together in spirit and in truth. The word of God will be delivered. Even though it will be from a vessel of clay, I pray that it will inspire you to do His will. Amen? So last week, Brother Dodson brought to the conclusion of a sermon series from the book of 1 John. So we've been going through the book of 1 John on the sermon series, Love Illuminated. Just a quick summary before we start what we have in store for the rest of the summer. The purpose of 1 John is so that the hearers and the readers may love one another and be united in fellowship with the Father and the Son. You know that Christianity is not a religion with a list of do's and don'ts. Rather, it is about a dedicated, personal, living and growing relationship with God and God's creation. Any relationship that we have requires nurturing and communication, among other things, to make it work. Our relationship with God through Christ is very important. Our relationship with God through Christ is very important and requires our attention. In fact, it requires our 24/7 attention. It requires nurturing. It requires communication. God wants to have fellowship with us because we are part of His family. We are part of Him. He wants to be in constant fellowship with us. For most part of the summer, we'll be having several brothers speak to us on topics that are dear to their heart and as led by the Holy Spirit. So I pray that you plan to attend. If you are around, you are not traveling, please plan to attend and you'll be blessed. To kick this off, today we'll be reflecting upon what it means to listen to God. Sometimes we wonder, does God speak to us today as He did previously? And if you were in the Sunday school today, you might see some themes out of this. So that means the Holy Spirit is actually working. In most cases, as Christians, we proclaim our knowledge of God. And sometimes without ever having that experience of communicating with God. Sometimes we read about it in the Bible, and we seem to have intellectual understanding of what that is, but doesn't really feel real. So it will be like a father who has a child and doesn't communicate with the child. Or a husband and wife who lives under the same room but do not communicate. I'm afraid, even though this might happen in some family relationship, That's not what relationship is about. Such lack of communication is akin to this. This is a joke, but I think you will get it at the end there. It talks about a man who went to the doctor. He was concerned about the health of his wife. He thought the wife was having difficulty hearing. So he's been trying to tell the wife, go and see the doctor because your ears are not working. The wife said, no, I'm hearing quite well. Don't bother me. So the man went to the doctor and just told the doctor, my wife is having problems. She is not able to hear what I'm saying to her. The doctor said, okay, I have a solution for you. When you go back, stand a little bit afar and talk to your wife. If she doesn't respond, ask a question. If she doesn't respond, get closer. Ask the question. If she doesn't, keep getting closer until she responds. Then you will know how severe this problem is. So the man was happy to be working on his actual solution. So he was happy. He went back. He rushed back to the house. It was evening time. He opened the door. The wife is preparing supper. He's standing out shouting, hey, honey, what is for supper? It's about 20 feet away. No response. He went closer 15 feet. No response. 10 feet, no response. Then he got close to about 5 feet to the lady. And, honey, what is for supper? So the wife turned around and said, like I said 4 times ago, it is lasagna. So, you see, the problem was not really the wife. The problem was the man. The man was having difficulty hearing. Sometimes we fail to listen to God or we fail to hear God and we're wondering, God is not really talking to me. But it might be that we are actually the problem and not God. So now, this is not lasagna that is for supper, but actually is the word of God. So one of the promise, let's go back to the Bible a little bit there. One of the promise that Jesus, before he left, told his disciple, he said, he will promise them the Holy Spirit. He said, I will leave so that you will receive the Holy Spirit. Paul, in Galatians 3:14, said that he redeemed us in order that the blessing given to Abraham might come to the Gentiles through Christ Jesus, so that by faith we might receive the promise of the Spirit. Essentially, the promise of God that was given to Abraham becomes ours as well. So we now share in that promise through Christ Jesus. But what was the promise to Abraham? What was the blessing that God granted to Abraham that we are now part of it? In Genesis 12, if you read with me from verse 1 through 3, the Lord had said to Abraham, go from your country, your people, and your father's household to the land I will show you. And I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all people on earth will be blessed through you. Does that sound familiar to us? Being called out as a great nation, being called out as a part of the royal priesthood, and we are meant to bless other people. In Luke 24:49, Jesus said, and behold, I am sending forth the promise of my Father upon you. But you are to stay in the city until you are clothed with power from on high. Now, how does the Holy Spirit, which we said we will receive, which Christ promised to us, how does that Spirit help us in communicating with God? How does that Spirit help us in staying in fellowship with God? Just like God promised to walk with Abraham to the land he will give him. He said, go by faith, I will walk with you. When we get there, I will tell you this is the place. The Holy Spirit is intended to be the same thing to us, to guide us to that holy kingdom which Christ promised to each and every one of us. He says, but when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come. John 16:13. That means in your daily living, the Holy Spirit will guide you unto all truth. In making a decision about marriage, the Holy Spirit will guide you unto all truth. In deciding on your job, even when you are at work, the Holy Spirit will guide you unto all truth. There is nothing trivial to bring to God in that case. There is nothing too trivial for the Holy Spirit, because He actually seeks to work with you, to guide you, to realize that promise that God has given to each and every one of us. If you look back then on what happened in Isaiah, God made a promise through Isaiah, which is actually fulfilled in our days as well. When you read Isaiah chapter 30 from verse 19 through 21, it reads, "People of Zion who live in Jerusalem, you will weep no more. How gracious He will be when you cry for help. As soon as He hears, He will answer you. Although the Lord gives you the bread of adversity and the water of affliction, your teachers will be eaten no more. With your own eyes, you will see them. Whether you turn to the right or to the left, your ears will hear a voice behind you saying, 'This is the way, walk in it.'" My prayer is that we open ourselves to the guidance and prompting of the Holy Spirit to help us with our decisions, when to turn to the right or when to turn to the left. I know, as intellectuals, we might wonder, you know, I have all this knowledge. I should be able to decide this. I shouldn't even take it to God. But God is actually saying, guess what? I have the Spirit right there with you to help you make those decisions. Notice Isaiah is using themes that are very similar in communication. You will see with your own eyes. You will hear with your own ears. And what are you hearing? What are you seeing? He said, you will hear a voice. You will hear a voice. You will hear a voice. And the voice will tell you, this is the way, walk in it. Now, that might sound strange. You might say, I've not heard the voice before. The Holy Spirit speaks to us in various ways. To some, it will come very directly. And you actually hear an audible voice, like what happened to the people that were with Jesus when He was praying. It can also come indirectly through dreams, visions, prophets, and the scriptures. However, regardless of the mode of communication, how would we know it is from God? The message from God is always consistent with who God is. When God wants to do something great, guess what? He will pull your attention and He will speak to you directly. John 12:28, which we read, is an instance of Jesus praying. As Jesus is praying, He said, "Father, glorify your name." People were around, He's praying. Then a voice came from heaven and said, "I have glorified it and will glorify it again." I guess people in the crowd were startled. They thought it was a thunder that just occurred. And some said, maybe it's an angel that is speaking to him. And Jesus, understanding their fears, said, "No, that voice was not meant for me. It was actually meant for your benefit." The voice also was heard by Paul when Paul had an encounter with Christ on the road to Damascus. He saw Christ's glory in the form of light. It was a very bright light that blinded Paul. And the voice called out saying, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" Who else heard the voice? Moses heard the voice of the Lord on several occasions. He spoke to God as one will speak to a friend. Exodus 33 says that Moses was very close to God, that he can speak as if, you know, he's just talking to a friend. And we might ask ourselves the question, can God still speak to us that way? Of course, the answer is yes. We don't have to limit God to any, we have to constrain the means for God, how God interacts with us. He speaks to us the way He would like to speak to us. And this is His promise, and this is what He said, that you will hear a voice. So it can be audible voice as well. Beyond the audible voice, God speaks to our spirit. For most of us, God will speak to us through the revelations found in the scripture. Through others, it can be through other people that we encounter on our way. And it can also be speaking to us directly in our minds. 1 John, that we've just gone through, chapter 4, verse 1, says, test every spirit. Don't just accept anything that comes to you, but test it. How do we test it and why should we test it? Hearing of God's voice comes with spiritual maturity and becomes perfected through our obedience to the voice. Remember Samuel? When Samuel was a little kid, he was sent by the parents to stay with Eli. Eli was his mentor. Samuel heard the voice. It called out to Samuel. It was an audible voice. The boy was startled. He got up. He ran to Eli. He said, Did you call me? Eli, sensing what is happening, his response can be summarized in this way. Be still. When you hear the voice, be still and say, speak, Lord, your servant is listening. How about us? What do we do when we hear the still voice of God in our heart? What do we do when that voice prompts us to pray for someone that is sick? Do we respond in obedience? What do we do when we hear the voice that prompts us to be a blessing to someone else? Do we respond in obedience? What do we do when we hear that voice that asks us to do something very specific, very unique, something that we know we could not even think of, but is consistent with the will of God? Do we respond in obedience? Hearing God's voice comes with maturity. It comes with obeying God's voice in the first place. Speak, Lord, for your child is listening, should be our response. Sometimes we respond like Saul. We might have some other ideas. Lord, you know, at this time, I have to use this money for something else. We might respond when we are asked to be a blessing to someone. We might say, Lord, at this time, I don't have time to pray. I just need to run an errand. I'm busy with something else. When we are asked, the voice asks us to pray for somebody that might be sick. The word of God to us is very similar to the admonition that Samuel gave to Saul. As the Lord has much delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord, behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to eat than the fat of rams. For rebellion is as a sin of divination, and insubordination is as iniquity and idolatry. But you have rejected the word of the Lord. This is a tough one. Samuel said, he has also rejected you from being king. Brothers and sisters, your ears will hear a voice behind you saying, this is the way, walk in it. We are part of the royal priesthood, a holy nation, God chosen people set aside to be in obedience to his word and declare his praises and goodness to all the nation. The prompting and guidance from God increases with our obedience to his word. Note that we should not act on all things, like I said, everything that comes to your mind doesn't mean that it's from God and you have to act on it. some things are better left in your mind, or if not, flush out from your mind. You see, Proverbs says that a simple man believes anything, but a prudent man gives thought to his or her steps. A simple man would say something of this nature: I will tell that person my mind. It is just on my mind to tell you about the other brother, the other sister. Something is on my mind. Let me gossip about the other person. That will not be of God. That will be gossiping. And one thing we have to be realize as brothers and sisters, the devil also knows that God can speak to us through our mind. And what will he do? The devil can also speak to us as well. Remember what happened to Eve in the garden. In 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 3, Paul said, "But I am afraid that just as Eve was deceived by the serpent's cunning, your minds may somehow be led astray from your pure devotion to Christ." You see, the voice of God, however, the one way to judge if the voice that you are hearing, if the guidance you are hearing is from God, is that it will be very consistent with who God is. His voice is always consistent with what he has revealed about himself in the scriptures as well. So what does that mean? Like Dickie Joe will say, it means that we have to be familiar with God in the scripture so that we can discern when he is talking to us. First, we have to be familiar with him in the word, in the scripture, so that when he talks to us, we know, yes, that one is from God. How else do we respond to the devil when he speaks to our mind? If you open with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 10, I'll read from verse 3 through 5. It says, "For though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. The weapons that we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. We demolish arguments and every pretension that set itself against the knowledge of God." So whatever comes in there that is against the knowledge of God, if you know God in the Word, the Holy Spirit has the power to demolish those thoughts. "And we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ." Every one of our thoughts must be in obedient to Christ. Another reason to give thoughts to the prompting of our heart is because our body can also prompt us as well. Our flesh might tell us to do something which is sinful. That is not of God. Don't obey that. Paul said that he finds this law at work. When I want to do good, evil is right there with me. For in my inner being, I delight to do God's law, but I see something else working in my member, just staring me to do something that is not God's will. Waging war against my inner mind, making me a prisoner of the law of sin. That's why we have to also be careful what goes in there. Be careful what you allowed into your mind, because it might affect the way you obey God. Be careful of the thoughts that other people might want to influence you with. These are some of my thoughts. Some news channels might not be good for us, as it might influence our obedience to the Word of God. Some television programs might not be good for us, as it might influence our obedience to the Word of the Lord. Some things we entertain ourselves, our eyes, our minds with, are not good for us, as it might influence our obedience to God. So let us all say with Paul, as in 2 Corinthians, "Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is. His will is good. His will is pleasing. His will is perfect. When we are in obedience to God's word, it increases our faith in Him. Like John will say, we are confident to approach His throne. We are emboldened to speak with authority and conviction. We can then pray without wavering. You see, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Romans 10:17. Just one last point before we conclude this sermon. God can speak to us through the words and action of others. I have two examples to shed on this a little bit. I have a co-worker that was just checking my email one of the weekends, last weekend actually, on Sunday. And then I saw an email that says, oh, I will not be able to come to work. My father has been admitted to ICU. I was so touched. I thought, wow, that can be a tough thing for somebody to deal with work as well as having to deal with your father in ICU. So I responded by saying, I'll pray for you, and I hope that your father gets well. So that passed on, and then on Tuesday, we got the news that our dad passed away. So that was sad. But the point I was trying to get at to this story is this. Was it on Friday or Thursday? My manager was on that email list. So he came to the office and we were just talking about something else. And then he said, just by the way, one quick question. You know, I want to ask you a personal question. I'm like, oh, wow, what is personal? What's personal now? So the question he asked was, you know, I saw that email and you said I'll pray for you. Is that allowed? Both of us are fairly new to the company. So I told him, I'm not sure if it is allowed. However, it was what God blessed my heart. It was just, you know, what I felt I should say that she needs at this particular moment. And he had to confess that, you know, I'm also a Christian. I'm along the walk, even though I might fall. But, you know, that's what I wanted to say. And, I mean, it allowed him to open up a little bit. The point of the story is this. Sometimes our action, now I have somebody that has to hold me accountable now, not just for my performance, but now for my spiritual life as well. But the point of the story is that, you know, our actions actually influence other people. What we say, the way we act, what we do, actually influence other people. Second example. So recently, the cousin on my wife's side had a big graduation ceremony. About three people graduated. So we went to celebrate with them. So to cut costs, I took two of the kids to Las Vegas and said, okay, that will be cheaper. And we drive down there. It was interesting, to say the least. One of the things I wanted to bring up is we took the public transport system on our way to our destination. And so the kids are tired. I just want to get back to where we are going. So everybody's tired. And there were a lot of people. It was at night. A lot of people in the bus already. And they were just somewhere, you know, having a good time. Though everybody seems to be guarded. So the bus stopped one more time. And a man came onto the bus. The man was on a wheelchair. And you can notice, it seems, I mean, it was scruffy, you know, a little bit beaten up by the weather, you might say. He had one leg, so he's navigating with one leg only, and with his two arms. It was relatively warm outside, even though, I mean, it's at night, it was still warm outside. But the man had a very thick jacket, almost like a winter jacket on. You know, we're tired, we're just not thinking there. So the bus driver secured him to the bus and make sure he's still. And once secured, we started on our way. One thing that the man did, that it was a lesson to me as well, and I will share this. So we are just not looking, just trying to hold on to the kids and things like that. Out of the corner, I saw something like waving, so I turned around, and the man was handing to one of my kids a 3D puzzle. You know, those things that is made out of wood, you do a puzzle. And I tried to say, no, I don't want them to take it. He said, no, take it. I couldn't argue anymore. So I took it, I said, thank you. I gave it to one of the kids. And turn around, just facing a little bit. He went into his jacket again, pulled out another one, wipe it clean as much as he could, and give to the other kid as well. By this time, I couldn't reject. I said, thank you. Then I step back. You know, my kids are looking at this and like, wow. I step back and think about it. Isn't it amazing that the people we might think might be so cold could turn out to be the warmest people we have ever met? It was a lesson to me as well. To see others as Christ sees them. To love others as Christ loved them. To care for others as Christ cared for us. To listen to God's voice and be obedient to his will when he asks us to do his will. Amen. Today, if you have heard his voice, do not harden your heart. Respond to God's word. If you have not given your life yet to Christ through water baptism, you have a chance to do that today. To renounce sin, confess that Christ is Lord, and be baptized for the forgiveness of your sin. If you need prayers for forgiveness, prayer to rekindle the Holy Spirit in you so that you might be in obedience to God's word. Please come out during the song and the elders will be ready to pray with you. Thank you. Amen. God bless each and every one of you. Amen.